The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Welcome, everybody. Yeah, we got four games to talk about, but we're still buzzing about the Chiefs' 27-24 victory over the Buffalo Bills. They are on to face the Baltimore Ravens. Meanwhile, the 49ers and the Lions will meet in San Francisco. We have an exciting Sunday coming up next week. Dave, I wonder what's going to be the game of the week. We'll have to find out. I didn't get you last week, Dave. I might give you both games this week. I got to make up for lost time. But think about the Chiefs' five straight AFC championship games. How valuable has Harrison Butker been? Right? Like, does this game just not make you realize?
Yes.
I'm serious. I mean, I know it's crazy, but just how consistent, having a consistent kicker when you watch the way the Packers game ended, when you watch the way the Bills game ended, obviously, and Justin Tucker, obviously, right.
Sure. I mean, McLaughlin missed a field goal. It's what everybody's talking about right now, Adam, is Harrison Butker and his importance to the Kansas City Chiefs.
They should. I mean, forget this guy. I want to give him some credit just for how good he has been. If you need a money kick, he's one of the best there is, man, especially when it's cold. Anyway, how you guys doing?
That was a great day of football.
It was an awesome weekend of football.
After the first game, yeah.
Well, the first half of the first game was pretty great.
I mean, they had a punt return and right. It was
still good. They found a way to hold Baltimore to 10 points. I wonder who's going to make. I actually got a call from my dad. He was like, whoever makes the better second half adjustments is going to end up winning this game. And I thought to myself, okay, that's going to be Baltimore. And sure enough, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lamar looks great.
He does. I get a question here. Are we going to get a Heath cameo victory cigar appearance? Maybe next week. But yeah, you can't celebrate winning the divisional round if you're the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, to be fair, when you asked us, because we're doing the Sunday night, you asked us who wants to come on the Sunday night show? And he said, it's probably a bad idea if I come on. So he was prepared one way or the other.
Yeah. It would have been fun, though. All right, we'll get a fantasy winner, a fantasy loser from the four games from the weekend. And we'll talk about some news and notes. We have some head coach news. We have an interesting quote about Anthony Richardson that I want to read. And then I'll get one question for each eliminated team. But let's start with a fantasy winner from the weekend. Anybody got a fantasy winner from the weekend?
Lamar Jackson.
I mean, that's fair. He's. We'll see what he does next week because he does this, right? He has four touchdown games and then he follows them up with 17 fantasy points. It's not out of character for him.
Well, I mean, this is coming off now back-to-back weeks of when we're starting to do our rankings, getting ideas for 2024. And it's easy to say right now because he's done it and he did it tonight. Josh Allen's number one quarterback. You could see a case for Lamar Jackson to be too. If he continues to develop in this offense and Jalen Hurts maybe takes a step back, especially if the tush push goes away, Kelsey's gone, at least we assume, Jason Kelsey. And, what does the rest of the team look like around him? That Lamar Jackson has the ability to do that if he wants to. I think he could do that if he wants to almost every time.
Right, that's how I feel.
It just feels like it. Obviously he can't. But, Zay Flowers gets better. Mark Andrews comes back. We'll see what they do to, continue to tweak the offense. But another year in Todd Monken's system, why not Lamar Jackson, number two?
Well, how close was he to Jalen Hurts this week? I mean, I can't really I don't think I could, this year I meant. I don't know that I can make that case. You say, why not? I think the answer would just be Jalen Hurts has been a lot better than him the last couple of seasons, and he has A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Well, I mean, I would throw out the 2 years, the year prior, you know, because Jalen Hurts is big season, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson's been banged up for two seasons. And again, you know, they change coordinators, they bring in weapons. You know, look, I don't think Odell Beckham's the long-term answer at the number two receiver, but you know, do they get more creative with using Andrews and Likely and Flowers and now another receiver's brought in? You know, like there's still room to grow in this offense. So I mean, obviously it's easy to say Jalen Hurts is number two. But I think, you know, we're certainly rounding into shape the top four quarterbacks, you know, of Allen, Hurts, Lamar, and Mahomes in some order.
They were
speaking
pretty much
of time. Rounding. If you round their fantasy points per game to the nearest tenth of a point, mm-hmm. Jackson and Hurts tied last year, 23.7 fantasy points per game each. You can go ahead and guess which one had the better average in 4 point. Yeah, this is when you guys guess.
Well, actually, no, I would guess Hurts because he had the 15 rushing touchdowns.
By 0.3 points per game. So they were pretty darn close. Hurts was a little bit more consistent than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
If things go awry in Philadelphia, I think it's an easy case to put Lamar Jackson at number two.
Dave, who's a fan?
Well, I don't remember how you had it ranked, Dave. For me, it was Allen.
Hurts. I think I had Mahomes in that mix, too.
We all had the same top four. It was just a matter of what the order was. Mm-hmm. For me, it was Lamar over Mahomes. So Lamar was third, Mahomes was fourth.
Yeah. I'm just going to go by what happened last year. I'm going to have Carson Wentz one. He was number one in points per game. Josh Allen two, and Joe Flacco three. All right, Dave, who's your fantasy winner from the weekend?
How about a guy who caught two touchdowns just in time to make his fantasy managers happy as hell, and that's Travis Kelce.
Turn back the clock.
He did. And I wonder if he has an offseason that's normal. And first of all, he's got to decide to come back. And I think he's hinted that he will. But if he doesn't have injuries slowing him down, I wonder if he comes back and kind of surprises us all. And this game against Buffalo was a pretty good example of what we're used to seeing from him.
Yeah.
He had gone, what, five games in a row without a touchdown?
Like 2 years.
It was five or six. Yeah, I mean, I remember talking about it on our DFS show on Thursday, that portion of it, it's like, maybe he's due. I don't know if you believe in due, but it was hard to keep a guy like that out of the end zone for too long.
Well, I mean, no, I think you looked at the game last week, you know, 7 for 71, had the two bad drops. It was just kind of a microcosm, I think, of the second half of the season for him, you know, still heavily targeted, just not producing at a high level. And look, he had a big game tonight, you know, in terms of finding the end zone. So that was great to see. There was at least one report prior to the game that he is considering retirement at the end of the season. But he, like you said, Dave, he did hint that he would return. So it'll definitely be something. You know, you wonder win a Super Bowl, walk off as a winner, or try and come back and run it back one more time. You know, I mean, look, he's tied to, you know, clearly the best quarterback in the league, not, you know, non fantasy related, you know, in terms of what Mahomes is able to, you know, achieve and accomplish. So it would be probably be tough to walk away.
Let me see how much money he'd have to walk away from.
Oh, his. I think he's all right now.
It's, you know, actually like a sweet. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. He's got to put a ring on it first. If he plays out his contract, it's two more years. Base salary is little under $30 million. It's actually kind of a sweetheart deal for the Chiefs for the last two seasons. We'll see what he does.
Yeah. All right. Let's get a fantasy loser from the weekend. Fantasy loser. A loser.
I don't want to give this guy as a loser.
Come on, Dave, do it.
It makes me sad. But Jaden Reed, second week in a row, second huge game for Green Bay, and there's just too much spreading of the ball around. And I know that he's not at 100%. He really hasn't been playing like a full allotment of snaps for several weeks now. But even though he was second on the team in receiving yards, it was only 35. Four targets, four catches, 35 yards. He had a 9-yard run. I want to be excited about this guy. I love the talent. But I'm a little nervous now going into the offseason that the Packers, they don't have to add anything at wide receiver. They are loaded and they are deep. They've got a great quarterback. They can actually improve their offensive line and make that an even bigger strength. Could they just continue to spread the ball around? And if that's the case, taking Jaden Reed with a top 50 or maybe even a top 60 pick could be a mistake.
So I wrote this after last week's game for the playoff stock watch, which we do after every weekend of playoff action on CBSSports.com. So in the five games that Christian Watson missed at the end of the season, Reed had four games with at least 15.2 PPR points. He only scored more than 15 PPR points twice all season when Watson was healthy. And so clearly he benefits, that goes without saying, when there's one less person there. And so I know, Adam, this was a little bit of a concern for you during that stretch when will Watson return? Well, he won't return at the end of the regular season. And so it makes it a little tough to potentially overdraft Jaden Reed. And, you know, again, you know, you go over the course of the season, he was their leading receiver. He was, I believe, second in points per game among rookie wide receivers behind Tank Dell. He just slightly edged Zay Flowers and Rashi Rice. But yes, it might be a little bit tough. Now, again, you hope year two, this is going to be a very good system. Clearly, Jordan Love is on the rise and one of the young quarterbacks that you want to attach yourself to. But, you know, between what Dobbs has done, what Watson hopefully will still do, what Dontayvion Wicks might be able to do, Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, they have two young tight ends that are certainly going to be, you know, in the mix. And I know we'll talk about Aaron Jones in a second, but it might make it just, okay, they're all kind of tiered, but dart throw number three wide receivers to number four wide receivers and not necessarily someone you want to draft as a must-start guy. We had this conversation when we did the mock draft. I took Jaden Reed as the third receiver. I was very excited about it at the time, and I still would be. But these last 2 weeks are definitely a little bit, you know, discouraging. Plus, I mean, let's just, you know, maybe give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. He has been playing through a chest injury. Who knows how much he's been hurt?
Well, the thing is, like, Watson hasn't been doing anything. It just happens to be Romeo Dobbs' turn right now.
Well, I think it's just, you know, more bodies on the field and how much, you know, I don't know what his, you know, playing time has been. I haven't checked the snap share, but that's probably something that factors in too, is that, you know, he's just losing a few opportunities.
Yeah, I would say so. And, I mean, 60.
And the 60%. Run game has definitely been going. Remember, he was a big part of the run game during that stretch.
All right. Do you want to give a fantasy loser, Jamie?
I mean, it's a low hanging fruit, but Stephon Diggs, once again, you know, I mean, this is just another bad game for him. And, you know, I've said this a lot and gotten a little pushback on it. You know, will he be on the team next year? I don't know if there's a team that's going to, you know, covet him to the level of maybe what he brings to the Bills, which, you know, he's been a very good teammate. There was never a he wants out because they want him out, or just it just felt like, you know, going by what happened earlier in the season and maybe not getting the opportunities and the targets and the production that he wants. I mean, they've certainly fed him the ball. You know, we've talked about this a lot, that, you know, even when Joe Brady came and they ran the ball more, the target share has still been there. So they still treated him like a number one receiver. He's getting paid certainly handsomely enough like a number one wide receiver. It's just a matter of, you know, is he frustrated and does he want to try and force his way out? Who knows? I'm sure this ending is not what he wanted because he came there to win a Super Bowl and they've fallen short once again. So we'll see how this, you know, all plays out. But it feels a little bit like maybe he's hitting that mark for receivers when they turn 30. And not separating, not doing the things that you typically see. I don't know if that's the case. I'm not saying that's happening, but, you know, the production certainly says that, you know, based on what we saw in the last nine games now, you know, two games over 50 yards receiving in that stretch. So is he still the same guy? Is he still somebody you want to covet? We talked about this last week. Is he a top 12 wide receiver? I'm not sure. I know, and I certainly won't be drafting him that way. You know, I'll let somebody else take that hit. But I was going to say, you know, another winner for me is certainly Khalil Shakir. And I think just him being in a full-time role is going to be fun if Gabe Davis does leave as a free agent. So we'll see how this Bills receiving core looks like. And I know we'll talk about it a little bit more, but Diggs is definitely somebody you got to be worried about.
Well, if they do get rid of him, let's put him on the Giants. Give a little Dable connection there. Yeah, bring him back. Fun. We need a number one receiver there. Put him on the Giants.
That's a team that would probably be interested. Mm-hmm. Another one might be Dallas. Ooh, I don't know if he's got the space to do it. Play with his brother. Can you imagine that duo with Dak Prescott? Holy cow.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
It'll be awesome in the regular season before McCarthy blows a form in the playoffs again.
Oh, yeah. All right. I got a fun player comparison for you.
I think Dan Quinn blew it for him in the playoffs.
I think the players blew it for him in the playoffs. I think the Packers blew it for him in the playoffs. So, you know, like, the Cowboys are soft.
Just wait till we get to the Bills.
You know, I was thinking something. I feel like the Cowboys are soft, and I was wondering, why do I think that?
I can't believe you're calling people soft.
Like not the players, just the team in general. I think it's because of their jersey color. I think they need to make them darker. Like, I look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins could be the toughest team. I'd be like, that team is so soft. Their logo, their colors, everything is like the colors of the seats in the stadium. They're marshmallows. They're just soft. And that's how I feel about the Cowboys.
You've been hanging out with your kids too long. You're picking teams and who's tough and who's soft based on logos and colors.
Yeah. All right. I have a player comparison for you here. Both of these guys, I'm going to give you stats. It's 17 game paces for their rookie seasons as quarterbacks. Okay. Not the same rookie season. Okay. So this is their 17 game pace. And I'll start out by saying that they both had air yard per pass attempt right around 9 yards, which is really high. And they both completed about 63.5% of their passes, which is really low. One of them was on pace for 4,608 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 18 interceptions.
Sounds like Flacco.
One of them was on pace for 4,656 yards, so about 50 more yards, 26 touchdowns, but only 6 interceptions. So they had basically the same amount of yards per, you know, yards per game, same ADOT, same completion percentage. One threw a lot more touchdowns and a lot more interceptions. These are both recent, fairly recent rookies, and this is their 17-game pace as rookies.
How many years apart?
In the last 5 years, I think. 4 or 5 years.
But neither of them are actual rookies now.
I didn't say that.
Okay, so I feel like C.J. Stroud is one of them.
C.J. Stroud is player B.
The one with the interceptions, the low interceptions.
The low interceptions, yeah.
And obviously,
the last 5 years,
not a recent rookie.
Yeah, last 5 years.
With the interceptions,
He was on pace for 4,600 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 18 interceptions.
This year?
No, as a rookie.
Joe Burrow.
No, good guess. Baker Mayfield. Just thought I'd send shivers down everyone's spine. So I was like, boy, that's a really, like, we're going to talk about Stroud later. That's a really low completion percentage. What about some other rookies? And his rookie season and Baker Mayfield's rookie season, they have some similarities. It's just a tease for what's coming up later. We're going to take a break. We'll give you the news and notes and one question for each eliminated team. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody. Here are your news items. The Raiders hired Antonio Pierce to be their head coach. And Dave, what stands out to me here is Pierce really felt like a guy that wants to be sort of old school, win at the line of scrimmage. And we saw when they were leading, it would be very common for Josh Jacobs to have more than 20 carries, 25 carries. You know, I feel like he's that hard-nosed, run-the-ball kind of guy. What do you think about this hire for the Raiders?
I feel like he's the Raiders' version of Dan Campbell. That he's going to set the tone for how the team's going to prepare and have the right mindset and be aggressive on the field, both sides of the ball, as far as being physical and tough. That's what it feels like to me. Very curious what he's going to do at offensive coordinator. He had a pretty decent play caller in Bo Hardegree, and he let him go. And so who's going to be the new play caller in Las Vegas? That's something that's going to be of interest. Do they keep who they have at defensive coordinator, or do they move on there? They might have moved on. I don't know if that news is out, but I think it's a positive for the Raiders. And the other thing that I love about it is that their defense really turned around with Pierce as the interim head coach last year. So I think that this is something that could change the fortunes considerably of Las Vegas.
Got to find a quarterback. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, the coordinator, I think, is going to matter because – you know, and that was the reports after he got the job was, you know, he's going to focus on what he knows and bring in people that he will hopefully help him, you know, supplement what he doesn't know. You heard Marvin Lewis's name mentioned, you know, as, you know, one of those type of guys that could be an assistant head coach or someone to bring in there. But in any event, quarterback and coordinator, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's like DeMeco Ryans, you know, gets the right quarterback, gets the right coordinator. Defense was an improvement. But those things, I think, helped him as a young head coach. And I think the same thing would be the case for Pierce.
Antonio Pierce coached 9 games for the Raiders. A running back had 20 or more carries in 6 of those games. 3 for Zamir White, 3 for Josh Jacobs. Zamir White also had a 17-carry game. So, and that was that crazy Chargers game, you know, where they blew him out. All right, Mike McCarthy is not going to get a contract extension. He's going to be a lame duck coach. Pittsburgh fired their... previously demoted defensive coordinator. A lot of reports about Atlanta and Bill Belichick. And according to our Jonathan Jones, they desperately want Bill Belichick. Arthur Blank desperately wants him. So we'll see if that happens. Remember that song, Desperately Wanting by Better Than Ezra, Dave?
Yeah. I like Good better than Desperately Wanting.
That's a bad take. It's a bad take.
Good's a good song.
It is, but it's not Desperately Wanting. Debo Samuel hurt his shoulder. That's a big one we're going to have to talk about. And also, I think Joe Tooney, saw the update just a little while ago, got hurt. Yeah, he's got a pectoral injury. That's Chiefs All-Pro guard Joe Tooney. He's got an injury that he's dealing with. That's a big one for them. And yeah, Indianapolis GM Chris Ballard said that Anthony Richardson is a legitimate passer. And he also said that that was something he was worried about. He was almost surprised to see how good of a passer Richardson was in the limited action. So... me too, Chris. I think all of us. I think his passing took a lot of people by surprise. Yeah. All right. One question for each eliminated team. So, Houston, what can hold CJ Stroud back from being among the fantasy elite?
Well, I think you kind of outlined this when you brought up his rookie stats and what his pace would be. He had a low interception rate. And what happens if he throws more interceptions in his second year? And he doesn't necessarily improve his passing touchdown number as well. So 28 to 30 touchdowns, that's always a good number to be around. But what if it's with 14 interceptions? What if the yardage is right around 3,900? A good year, but not a top 5 type of year. And that's the type of thing that could happen if they lose Bobby Slowick. A new coordinator comes in, not as good as Bobby Slowick, doesn't work as well with the current players. I think that could happen. That could be something that brings it down. Now, it's really hard to expect all that to be like a lock to happen when you consider just on its face right now, the division. Look at the matchups that he has next year with Jacksonville, Indy, and Tennessee. I'm not sure any of those defenses are going to turn it around and be dominant. So there's 6 games right there that I think CJ Stroud can be at least as good as he was this year in, if not a step better, provided that Tank Dell's healthy. That's obviously another thing. What if Tank Dell, you know, struggles to get back into form after breaking his ankle or his leg? It was his leg. Stuff like that. Personnel not being as good as they were this year. That could be the other thing that holds him back.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of great points. I think the Slowik loss would be huge if they don't, if they change systems. You know, you wonder if they just promote from within, if Slowik leaves and just keep things on this, on a similar plane for Stroud. I don't know if the addition of, and you kind of touched on this a little bit with Antonio Pierce, if the run game improves, do we see, you know, maybe more of a emphasis on the ground game? Now, Dave brought up one thing about the interceptions. You're going to probably hear a lot in the training camp offseason process of, at least I hope so, because this is when quarterbacks take that leap statistically. You know, there's very few guys that do it. Like Aaron Rodgers comes to mind, where they're just, you know, anti-interception. And I know, like, Pete Prisco, for example, he's had these conversations with Aaron Rodgers, and he's told him, he said, throw more interceptions. And Rodgers like, why would I want to do that? It's because you're taking more chances. And, you know, a lot of quarterbacks are like that. You know, I mean, look, we saw two in particular this weekend that threw costly interceptions. Jordan Love's was the one I think that sort of stands out. He's going to his right, throwing across his body, trying to make a play. And those are the ones you want to avoid. But from our purposes, while the minus two sucks, it tends to lead to more opportunities to make some big plays. And so I think you're going to hear a lot, like I said, in training camp of Stroud is throwing more interceptions, throwing more turnovers. And that's because they're trying things to maybe, you know, open up his game a little bit more. So we'll see. I think offensive line's huge too. You know, I mean, if he can get more consistent offensive line play, that could help him take a step forward. But the one thing I think, Adam, just to answer your question in a very long-winded way, to keep him from being elite, if he ran a little bit more.
Yes.
You know, that I think sort of keeps him from getting to that next level. Because as a passer, I think he's going to be among the better ones. Receiving corps is fantastic, or at least has a chance to be. So if he can run a little bit more, that'll put him in that next level.
Yeah. Look, I brought up the Baker Mayfield comparison. I just thought it was interesting from a profile standpoint. It's shocking that he hasn't thrown more interceptions, because you can't say to CJ Stroud, go take more chances. He had the second highest air yards per pass attempt in the NFL behind only Will Levis. And he still threw only five interceptions. He's going to throw more interceptions next year. There's almost no way. You know, nobody can throw five interceptions 2 years in a row, basically. So, yeah, you have to be, maybe Aaron Rodgers has done that, or Brady or something. But so that's fine. He'll throw more touchdowns too, 23 touchdowns. He had a pretty low touchdown rate. And I would point out, like, he had, I think, eight games where he both Tank Dell and Nico Collins played more than half the snaps. He scored more than 20 fantasy points in six of those eight games. And in one of the two that he didn't, he scored 19.3 fantasy points. So he was just incredible when they were both on the field. But yeah, the rushing totals, his 17 game pace was 189 rushing yards. Over the last five seasons, we have had three quarterbacks finish in the top five overall with less than 200 rushing yards. 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. Only three quarterbacks: Rodgers, Brady, and Stafford was QB5. So that could keep him. All right, second question.
I heard a wild stat just on quarterback rushing this week that I didn't confirm, but I assume it's true. I do a South Florida podcast with Jonathan Zaslow, who was on the radio station in South Florida for many years, and he has his own podcast now. He's told me that Tua Tagovailoa only ran for six first downs the entire season.
That actually, I would have taken the under on that.
Like, that's amazing to me.
Tua never runs. He never runs.
Like, we're not talking about rushing touchdowns. First downs.
Yeah, wow.
That's, you should get one a game.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. All right, here's an Aaron Jones question for Green Bay. Can Aaron Jones thrive at age 29? He just turned 29. Next year will be his true age 29 season, but he'll be an old 29. Dave, can Aaron Jones, six straight games with 18 or more carries and over 100 rushing yards against really good run defenses too, can he do it again next year?
I think he can, but I'm worried about for how long, and I'm worried about how many touches he actually gets, because the Packers, we talked about him when we talked about Jayden Reed. They seem set at wide receiver. They're definitely set at quarterback. Maybe need a little bit of help at offensive line. They should and most likely will add another running back either in the draft or from this rich crop of free agent veteran running backs that are out there. Someone to help Aaron Jones, someone to safeguard themselves. Jones got hurt this year. why not have another running back ready to go, possibly someone who could be a long-term plan if Aaron Jones misses time, 29 years old, again next year? So I think you almost have to look at him in the same way that we looked at Raheem Mostert. Remember what we said about Raheem Mostert during draft season? Yeah, you can take him, and sure, he'll probably help you get off to a good start, but once age catches up with him, once he wears down, he'll be phased out of the offense and he won't be any good. Now, in the case of Raheem Mostert last year, that never happened. He was awesome at the start of the year, hung around pretty much the majority of the season. Fantasy playoffs, he wasn't so great, but he was someone that kind of broke through that mold. I don't know if Aaron Jones can do that, but you draft him with the idea that he helps you get off to a good start this season. And then maybe you draft the guy with him and you just lock up that Packers backfield.
I mean, we're not talking about someone that you're going to invest heavily in, you know, so that's the best part about it is, and we've seen it now in two drafts. We did a PPR draft. We did a half PPR draft. Round five, round six is when he's come off the board. And so, you know, you're looking at, if you go hero RB and that's your second guy, I don't know if you want him to be your first guy in a zero RB standpoint, but I mean, clearly he was fantastic for the Packers. You know, I mean, you look at the game 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys, 3 touchdowns, 100 yards. Like you said, it's been a pretty impressive stretch. But we got to remember what the regular season was like too. Ankle injury, hamstring injury, you know, he missed time. And, you know, that's only going to potentially get worse as he gets older. Mm-hmm. So the draft will be telling, free agency will be telling. You know, if they bring in an also-ran type of guy, then I think you feel confident about Aaron Jones. If they draft somebody on day two, then it's okay. Maybe we got to be a little bit worried. But you know, this is a team that typically doesn't spend a lot of money in certain places. I don't know if they're going to go be aggressive. I don't think this is going to be a Derrick Henry sweepstakes type of thing. You know, not that he's the end all be all of guys out there, but you know, I mean, he's going to be the biggest name.
Well, they get pretty old.
Well, what about Saquon?
They had those two guys.
Oh yeah, I guess if Saquon and Jacobs get free, yeah. It'd be surprising if those are, you know, the type of guys that end up there, but you never know. Yeah, I think it's a great system. You know, it's an offense that's on a rise. It's clearly a coaching staff that trusts him. He wanted to be there. Remember, he restructured his deal to stay in 2023, you know, to remain in Green Bay. It's, so I think if he is the lead running back, low end number two, high end flex, that's the type of guy you want to treat him as.
You mentioned where he went in our drafts. He didn't even go 75th overall in our first two mocks. So you're right about that. 77th in the half PPR, 89th in the full PPR. So that's going to be the range, somewhere between 75 and 90 until the draft. And then after the draft, who knows? He could fall even farther. The Packers,
he may actually move up, though. I mean, again, if there's no competition.
I guess significance brought in.
And just, you know, just to put an asterisk by our drafts, we're doing it with, you know, basically an empty draft board of, oh, I forgot about this guy. You know, let me go draft him.
Right. Okay. But I would think that after one draft, that would get remedied.
He went higher in the second one.
He went 12 spots higher, full round higher. The Packers could save over $11 million if they designate him a post-June 1st cut. So that would hurt a little bit to see Aaron Jones moving on from Green Bay, but it's an option. I think my money's on him restructuring and being part of a two-headed backfield.
Well, since he entered the league in 2017, among all running backs with, 500 or more carries, that's 53 running backs, he is third in yards per carry. Nick Chubb, 1, Raheem Mostert, 2, Aaron Jones, 3. He is actually putting together an incredible career. He's going to be one of the more underrated players of his generation, I'd say. You know, it's really, really awesome. And then, you know, there'll be time on another show for going through all the running backs who have been good or bad at age 29, but it's mostly bad. It's mostly bad. I would say Derrick Henry was actually, you know, okay, but
yeah,
you know, he's one of the success stories. Mark Ingram is the best one that I've seen in recent years, with a good age 29 season with Baltimore and then pretty bad after that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about one question for two more eliminated teams, Tampa Bay and Buffalo. We'll be right back on FFT.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So I just recorded FFT in 5 with Dave before the show. Jamie, you're off the hook. And Dave said that they're wasting Josh Allen's prime in Buffalo. And you know who I thought of, Dave? This will make you smile. I thought about when I was growing up and those New York Knicks never beating those stinking Chicago Bulls. And not just the Knicks, but every other team in the Michael Jordan Eastern Conference just and Western just couldn't beat that guy. And that is what Mahomes is doing to the Buffalo Bills year after year. So sad.
I thought that the one move that the Bills should make right now is, you know, covertly get on the phone with someone that knows Bill Belichick and see if he'd be interested. Because they've tried with Sean McDermott. They've given it their best shot many times. How do you get over the hump and finally beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Well, Belichick's done it.
I'll tell you. Patrick Mahomes retires for 2 years, plays baseball, okay. And then the Knicks lose in the NBA Finals instead of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then the Magic lose in the NBA Finals the year after that. And then Mahomes comes back after 2 years in spring training and wash, rinse, repeat. That's what happens.
I think the Bills should fire McDermott and hire Bill Belichick. It's an unholy alliance on the same level as Undertaker with Mr. McMahon, 90s WWE reference.
But that would be Belichick being hired as a head coach for 3 of the AFC East teams.
I know. Yeah. It would be something. I could almost see him getting hired by Atlanta and then scribbling on a napkin at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta that he's leaving to go to the Buffalo Bills. He resigns. But I know that people are like, I asked some Bills fans about it and said, what do you think? And half of them were like, no, we can't have him. And the other half were like, I'm ready. Sean McDermott's got to go. That's an upgrade over McDermott as far as scheming goes. Preparing players. I know we can't really put this loss on Sean McDermott, but I just feel like he's taken them as far as he can.
I think it's a good take. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would agree with you. I would, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, if you're younger, Michael Jordan ruled the NBA in the 90s, and then he took 2 years off to play baseball, and the Bulls did not make the NBA Finals those 2 years. And then he came back and they won 3 more championships. I mean,
well, he was suspended for gambling.
In, you know, that's the conspiracy theory, sure. But he was not officially. And I actually never saw him play basketball, but I did see him play baseball in a spring training game. Nice. Yankees White Sox. It was pretty funny. So, I just, like, were you going to fire Pat Riley because he couldn't beat Michael Jordan? Mahomes makes a lot of coaches look bad. And Pat Riley went to the Heat, you know, and he was the man. So I think if you're a Bills fan, you just got to accept it's Patrick Mahomes' world and everyone else is just living in it right now. That's what I think.
This was the year, you know, he said it. He's like, if this, what did he say? They'll rip their souls out.
They did.
Down year for Mahomes, down year for Kelsey, on the road, in their building. Like, man, they had everything set up so perfectly. Now look, the Bills' injuries, I think, played a part defensively.
Of course.
You know, they really couldn't stop the Chiefs. No problem. But it's a great call, Dave, you know, because the thing that the report was about Belichick going to the Falcons, he wanted to go to an underachieving team. Well, you typically think underachieving as can't make it to the playoffs, can't win your division. Like, this is the ideal situation of getting the guy with, you know, what do you have, 6 rings, 7 rings, to, you know, go in there and maybe, you know, get them over the hump if that's what would be the final, you know, thing. But, man, it'd be fun.
8 rings, knows the division, definitely knows the Patriots. After the Patriots kind of sort of forced him out. Wow.
Yeah. But who wins that game if you switch their kickers? That's what I'm saying. Like, were you going to blame McDermott for that? I really believe that if they had Harrison Butker, they would have won that game. If you switched Bass and Butker, probably the Bills win the game. All right. Let's, well, we can stick with the Bills here. Question for the Bills. Does Dalton Kincaid become elite in 2024?
So what we saw from him in the last 3 games going back to, and what was his final stat line? I didn't see.
5 for 50. It was 5 for 45 on, he led the team in receiving. He led the team in receiving out of 186 yards. It's a good game, you know?
Okay. The last 3 games and into the season when Dawson Knox wasn't there, he was a star. And the last 3 games, Gabe Davis wasn't there. And 2 of those games, he was a star. And so it feels as if somebody's missing. He's got a chance to be a star. And Gabe Davis is a free agent right now. So, yeah, I think so. When I looked at the tight end rankings for all of us, the 7 people who did the rankings, he was one of the first people I was looking for. Because it was, you knew who the guys at the top would be. It would be the 2 young tight ends that everybody has at the top of the list in some way, shape, or form. The in the top 4 were Trey McBride and Sam Laporta. Laporta was ahead of McBride, but those were in the top 4 for everybody. And then it was, where's Kelsey? Where's Andrews? And then Kincaid was kind of in that next group. And it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see a significant receiver addition. You know, again, and I'm not talking about Stephon Diggs leaving. Stephon Diggs still there. But if no significant receivers brought in to replace Gabe Davis, and they say, okay, we're going with Shakir, we're going with Kincaid, he's got the pedigree, and he certainly showed that he can do it in some key spots this season when they needed him. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the team at targets next year. You know, I mean, he's got that much upside. So he's going to be somebody that I'm excited about. He's going to be, I think, a lot of people's breakout lists for next season. Mm-hmm. And understandably so, and deservedly so. You know, I mean, he's second-year tight ends. We always know what those guys tend to accomplish. It happened for McBride this year too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't want to take one of the potential top 4, he's going to be in the next group, which I know Adam's going to say, well, that's the tier where everybody can kill
him. Unfortunately.
But I think he's a little bit different, and he might be in that first tier. You know, it could be a little bit deeper this year.
Not every tight end in that tier is bad, but yeah, we do get burned in that tier.
It's like it's the O.J. Howard tier.
Once upon a time, I remember, was the Greg Olsen tier, was the Mark Andrews tier. Sometimes it works out. All right, for Tampa Bay, is anyone going to be excited about Chris Godwin in 2024? Because we have talked a lot about Evans, Rashad White, but haven't talked much about Chris Godwin. Anyone going to be excited about him in 2024?
Any chance they move him back to the slot?
Is Evans there?
Let's do this as if, yes, Evans is there.
Evans is there. Baker's there. Canales is there. Like, they run it back all the way. Does Trey Palmer bump Godwin back into the slot? And if that were to happen, I'd be a little more intrigued by Godwin in PPR. But short of that, no. Wouldn't be excited at all.
I'm going to be excited about his value because nobody's overdrafting Chris Godwin this season.
Yeah, he went ahead of Aaron Jones in our drafts.
He went ahead of Aaron Jones?
He did.
Yeah.
And Dalton Kincaid.
I think when you look at where you can get him for what he still can do, and now we're talking about Mike Evans at 31. Yeah, for sure.
The next wide receivers after Chris Godwin in the half PPR draft that we did, he was the first pick of round 7, were DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams, and Khalil Shakir, and Deontay Johnson. I don't really like
round seven so much right
kind
now.
Kind of an ugly tier.
Chris Godwin, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams, Khalil Shakir, Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson and Chris Godwin feel very similar to me. You know, like you kind of know what you're getting. There's not what feels like a lot of upside, mostly for Johnson with the quarterback situation. I mean, look, Godwin had one game this season where Mike Evans left early and he was an absolute monster. And so, true. You know, if they move on from Mike Evans, then there's a lot to love about Chris Godwin, but you know, you're not giving us that option.
but that's what it takes.
In the case of wide receivers that you're taking as your number three, if you don't invest heavily in the position, it's not bad. Love him as a wide receiver four. I think he was my fourth receiver in the PPR draft, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I love that opportunity to draft him like that. But you know, you want to draft him as a number two receiver? No.
Do you think he can get over 13 PPR points per game?
Yes.
He didn't this past year, and it's a three-year low. He'd been over at least 14 PPR points per game each of the last 2 years. Consider the quarterback. Consider the role. Consider that he's getting up there in age. We talk about Evans being 31. Godwin's going to be 28. I don't know. I don't feel quite as good about it. If they're running it back, I can't feel good about Godwin.
Yeah, he also has five touchdowns. Chris Godwin has five touchdowns in his last two seasons on 272 targets. This year, though, I would say a little unlucky. There were 25 players with 10 or more end zone targets this year. Godwin had the fewest touchdown catches of any of those players. He was the only one that didn't have at least three. He had two touchdown catches all year. And 22 of those 25 players had five or more touchdown passes. And I remember doing this exercise of looking at all of his end zone targets, at least up till maybe two-thirds through the season. And I don't understand. Baker Mayfield just, it's like he thought Chris Godwin was twice as tall. Or like 600 pounds because he just is throwing it so inaccurately. Like he's not, his arms don't go that far. So Baker, they did not have a good connection, those two. I mean, like a 62% catch rate or something like that for Chris Godwin, who had been over 71% four straight years. They just didn't have a good connection, but then they got hot late in the year. The last four games, he was the number seven wide receiver in PPR. He had seven more targets than Mike Evans. He had 130 more yards than Mike Evans.
It was after the Carolina game when he went without a catch.
Right. Yes, it was. So and I actually do think he'd be a good pick in the seventh round, maybe more so.
Yeah, for me, for sure. I think the one thing to keep an eye on, this is one of the more fascinating teams to look at in the offseason because, yes, they won a division. Yes, they won a playoff game. But it's such a bad division. Like, I love Dave's call on Belichick to the Patriots, but if I'm Belichick, it's almost like the same thing Tom Brady did. It's like you're looking at that division and it's so wide open to win right away. You know, like you go to Atlanta, you end up with the right quarterback. They could dominate that division for the next couple of years because I don't think Carolina is very good and I don't think Bryce Young is going to be great. Tampa Bay doesn't feel like it's a juggernaut by any stretch. They could easily take a step back, especially with all the potential changes that could happen. And New Orleans is old as hell, you know, so it's an easy situation with all those skill players that are so young in Atlanta. Get the right quarterback there. They can win that division for the next 5 years.
You know, maybe the right quarterback for the Buccaneers, for the Falcons is currently on the Buccaneers.
Kyle Trask?
No, Baker Mayfield.
They're going to steal away Baker?
Yeah.
I don't think Baker's leaving. I think they're keeping Baker.
Yeah. You think. What's his
Do contract? Do they franchise tag him?
Is he a free agent?
Yes.
Right. So that's what I thought.
If they could always franchise tag him and pay him 30-something million, go the Kirk Cousins route.
I really want to see Justin Fields to Atlanta.
Yeah, that would be.
I mean,
fun
would be
until
fun,
he overthrows Kyle Pitts.
It wouldn't be great for Pitts in London. You're going to be talking about still like one of the lowest passing
yards.
You
say that though, but I mean, Cole Kmet and DJ Moore are pretty good with Justin. Mm-hmm.
Not Kmet, really. I mean, Moore. Yeah,
it's an
absolutely.
Upgrade. It's an upgrade.
But it's also Cole Kmet and Kyle Pitts are not the same player.
No, but it's hard with a mobile quarterback. It's not a knock on Justin Fields. It's just a fact. He's going to be among the lowest passers in terms of yards and attempts in the NFL. It's like Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. It's not like he supported two receivers. It's just hard for these guys to do that. You know?
I'm not completely disagreeing with you, but I think anything at this point is better than Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
That's true.
But I'd rather have Caleb Williams. But I don't think
Caleb Williams is going to Atlanta.
Yeah, no, I know that's not going to happen. I was sorry, I got confused with the Bears there for a second. No, Caleb Williams is not going to be there. But all right, that's it for today's show, tonight's show. Thank you guys for staying up late with me. I do appreciate that. Give me some early picks for the weekend.
Home teams.
The Bills beat. No.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's so hard to bet against the Chiefs right now.
I know. I know it.
I'm going Chiefs.
49ers win big. And Ravens, Justin Tucker wins the game.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Right now, 49ers have to be the pick, but they are a much different team without Deebo Samuel. That is a big, big injury for them. Hopefully, he
Detroit
can
look lost for the first three quarters tonight.
They're playing a great team. Come on, they're playing Baker Mayfield. All right, thanks everybody. Have a great.
I can't believe you lost our playoff challenge.
Yeah, all in on the Bills. All in on the Bills. I'll give you the 10.
Like a chance to win it.
Oh yeah.
It's either gonna be me or Schneier.
He's got
Schneier's in a good spot. Yeah. Snyder's a really good spot because he has the Lions and like a few Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. And I've got a lot of Ravens. And
you have one Raven.
I got the one Raven that matters.
That is true. If Mark Andrews does play, you'll be in good shape. But
next time I'm taking Butker with pick 101. Good evening, everybody. Talk to you on, well, actually going to be a little while. Talk to you on Wednesday on Fantasy Football Today.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.